Good morning. Today is Monday, January the 2nd, the tooth day of 2017. Boy.
Boy, you're a little behind there, Brian.
I got all fired up there just to be able to say 19 again. You know what would happen?
No.
I'd look so much younger and thinner.
Not as wise, though. All that gray hair is a sign of wisdom.
At some point, you start losing it, too. Oh, boy. Our quote this morning is from William James. The greatest enemy of any of our truths may be the rest of our truths.
That's pretty unique.
Yeah. Kind of an interesting concept. So what was 2016 like?
Oh, it was busy. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
We, it was actually kind of a year of polar opposites. We had a year where we started out with a lot of violence, and we were able to clear out the marsh and watch it subside a little bit, and then it picked back up at the end of the year. And now we think that it has kind of leveled off. But we'll see statistically how that turns out here once we get the crime data put together.
With the cyclical nature
mm-hmm.
that crime seems to be, can you do a trend? Because of the large highs and the low lows, to bring it into a trend, I would think you cap the mountain and you fill in the valley, and now it's not reality. It might be a trend, but it's not really reflective of what happened.
Yeah, of course, statistically, you can do a trend, but what does the trend mean? I think that's what you're kind of referring to. And you do get these peaks in these valleys, and sometimes look at those peaks, and we try to go back in the data and look at it, and you find out that, well, that peak was one guy who was just tearing us up with burglaries, or one 14-year-old kid, as we talked about a little bit ago, who's just tearing up the town. And so you have to kind of look at the standard deviation and kind of look at what's the high and what's the low and what's really actually reasonable. And then to kind of figure it out from there.
You didn't go to Classic Lit, but you took stats?
Yeah. What was that, Socrates you were asking about earlier?
It's Seneca. Seneca. Oh, I won't ask you about Plato, man.
Who?
Yeah.
Isn't that a planet?
Yeah. Isn't he in the kitchen store? It would seem to be intriguing, and I, being somebody who likes numbers,
mm-hmm.
It'd drive me batty.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out and interpret what it means because the swings are so wild. Like you said, one individual can really whip it out, and you take them off the street, and all of a sudden things look happy rosy. Well, maybe they are, maybe they're not.
Right.
It's different, certainly.
Yeah, well, who's the next person lurking that's going to be that person who tears it up for a while? And we had two people who were doing a lot of mailbox theft, car burglaries, residential burglaries, and then driving around town just knocking out windows with a slingshot. And we got them in custody. I think it was over 50 cases, I know that.
Really? Just their definition of fun?
Yeah. Their definition of tweak fun. And long story short, they were doing cases from Reading all the way over here to Arcata, to Eureka. We got them in custody. And they went to jail and got probation. And as soon as they got out, more windows. So, we take a look at some of that information, and that that gets a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, we'll talk about that frustration when we come back. It's 8:19.
Happy New Year.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning. morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Andy Mills from, well, Mr. Eureka Police. From the Eureka Police.
Mm-hmm.
Chief. Head bottle washer at Eureka Police Department. Yeah.
We can go a lot of ways with that one. Yeah.
No need, no need. You'd mentioned, Andy, these guys that got turned out after causing a lot of mayhem.
Sure.
But you had mentioned the meth component to that. Are they the people who tend to act out? Do they have a personality profile that says, okay, I'm going to be a jerk? But they have the norms of society, their upbringing, their what, and they keep that in check, and then meth allows that to come out and play? Or is this somebody who's just always goofy, and they just do more of it when they're loaded on whatever their persuasion is?
You know, I don't think I have statistics that I could say, here's the percentages of this person who's normal that acts out, or this person's always been a goofball and gets worse with meth. But I do know from doing this for almost 40 years that when people are on meth, there are times where they are not acting rationally or within the bounds of maybe even who they are. And that's the King's X, where people go off in a direction where they commit crimes that they wouldn't normally commit. They behave in a way that they normally wouldn't behave. I mean, when a person who most people would describe as fairly normal takes off all their clothes and jumps up and down on the roof of a car that's not his in the middle of the city, in the middle of the day, and people are, you know, calling 911, hey, there's a naked guy jumping on the top of the car, that's not normal. And that's often the times of meth, and you know.
So it's not inhibition being released. It's more like a
psychosis.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde becomes a psychosis, and it's interesting because we'll take people to the jail who are under the influence of meth like that, and the jail says, "Well, we're not taking them here because they need to be at Semper Virens." So we take them up to Semper Virens. Semper Virens looks at them and goes, well, there's meth on board, so we're not touching them. Okay, well, one of you are going to have to take this guy because I can't drive around with him in my patrol car for the next 10 hours. Sometimes what we wind up doing, and this is the worst case scenario of all, we take him to St. Joe, and St. Joe says, this is going to cost us tens of thousands of dollars, but you know what? We'll buck up. We'll do it.
Or, sequestering them somewhere?
Yep,
or
time down.
Segregating them? Oh, actually,
restrain them. And sometimes we'll have to put an officer to guard them. I mean, you know, so you have a small city, a small department, and now you're taking a third of your workforce to guard some guy who chose to take methamphetamine. It's really a tough deal.
Is this typical for most police agencies in the country? You talk to your buddies in Wyoming or Montana or Nebraska or Missouri. Are they running into this same profile, the same scenario?
Well, I'm glad you included Missouri and Nebraska because you're talking about buddies. I don't have any in Wyoming or Montana.
Okay.
But nationwide, you're seeing where there is heavy meth usage, you see this kind of stuff.
Do we have heavy meth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, ridiculously heavy.
But remember, we're in the pot.
Yeah. Well,
we're in the bubbling water here. We don't know what
normal
is.
Rarely do we see just pot. You'll always see meth and heroin.
Baking reference here, buddy.
Yeah.
We're in the pot of boiling water.
Oh, pot.
So what we see is normal is what we see in front of us.
Well, I don't
know. Most of us don't go out to have those other references.
Yeah, I don't think that I wouldn't call it normal here in terms of the amount of drug usage. In fact, I'd call it really high. No pun intended.
Now, that's a good one.
Yeah. We have a high use of heroin, a high use of meth, high use of cannabis and oils extracted from it.
So is it endemic because we are a drug culture with the marijuana growth, or is it more a reflection of a rural area?
Well, I don't think it's just a rural area because there are rural areas that have absolutely none or very little. I think it's certainly some of it could be the pot culture here in your Humboldt County. But it's also, I think more importantly, that people have lived outside of the rule of law for decades, and now there's the culture of lawfulness lacks. And in order to have a civil society, you've got to have a society where people choose to live by the law.
So Santa Rosa, they abide by the law. Eureka, they don't?
Yep.
Willits, they don't.
I don't know a whole lot about Willits, but you take.
You don't have friends there either?
Not too many. So if you take a look at Santa Rosa and Google how many homicides they had last year in Santa Rosa. So it's a city of, what, 160,000-ish?
Yeah, I've always thought of it twice what the daytime is for Eureka.
Okay. Well, yeah, at least. So if there are 160,000 people, that's a little bit larger than our county, 135,000 in the county. I believe they had single-digit homicides last year, as in two to three.
That's a good month for us, right?
That's a good month here.
Yeah.
So we've had 20-some. That shows you, to me, one simple way to illustrate of how the norm here is really abnormal.
And it's not as concentrated here. It's not just Eureka. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on in Southern Humboldt that we're hearing about.
Right.
That sheriff is having to deal with.
Yeah. Tough job.
So how do you... Obviously, you don't want that one.
No. Mike, I'm glad you're there.
Yeah.
Talk seriously to Billy.
Good luck, Billy. Yeah. So how do you wrestle with that internally as a department, as a law enforcement officer, as somebody who wants to make that change?
I think some of it you have to take the apple a bite at a time, and we have to take a look at what we can do together. This has to be a unified front.
It's an elephant, by the way. It's not an apple.
Yeah, okay. I thought about that after I said it. But
good move.
I didn't want to find
you. Want to think before you talk? Just a little FYI for you.
Okay, Mr. Radio.
Yeah. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills, Eureka Police Chief. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Andy, you had a couple of, weird is probably too normal. Unique is probably more apropos. The gun, car, shoot, shut down 456. Talked to Billy Gillespie, as he was in that week. Said, yeah, we had a front row seat. It was intriguing for me when I first heard about it that it was happening around the cop shop. That, if you're going to do something, you probably don't want to do it right next to the bead's nest.
Yeah.
Okay, closing off, it's been a couple of years since we've had a real good detour. We've had a couple of those where the SWAT teams came in and stuff. But this was a much more fluid situation. What hasn't gotten out in the media about that event, good, bad, or indifferent?
Yeah, there were some, there was a lot of media reporting on it, and there were some real inaccuracies in the media reporting. And, it's interesting when you go to these chief's classes and they talk about, working with the media and so forth, they'll say, hey, in absence of you putting out information, they're going to put out what they want. And I think that was kind of the case here. And what they do is they try to fact check and verify it with people who don't have direct access to the investigation. And so there was some real inaccuracies. And so essentially what happened is a guy who thought he was wanted by the police in Illinois, according to him, whereas passengers in the car said that he didn't want to stop for the police, ran from CHP with a gun. threatened two workers at the Best Western. They call for emergency help. Our officers cleared lineup, as well as the ones in the field, went that direction, and it ultimately turned into a foot pursuit. So the length of EPD's involvement in the critical part of this incident was 3 minutes and 19 seconds. So when Officer Linfoot laid eyes on him, he started chasing the guy, with the gun, and then it goes into Soul Savers where there's a car running. They were trying to dry the floorboards of the car. The guy jumps in the car, gets in the driver's seat, picks up the gun, brings it over the top of the steering wheel, and points it at Linfoot. Linfoot sees the gun and reacts to it by shooting at him. And then as the guy is driving towards where Linfoot's position is, Linfoot falls backwards. There's a 6-inch curb. And as he's falling backwards, he empties his gun into the car and then falls through a doorway into one of the sales offices, which I can't think of a worse place to be in a car sales office, you know. I have to get my manager to make sure you can fall through my doorway. Then the guy travels, goes around the corner where other officers have now heard the gunfire. And according to the statements that I read from the officers, is they felt that they heard multiple calibers of guns being fired. So you can normally hear and distinguish, you know, the size of the, you know.
So saying that's either a trained ear or hunters.
Right. Well, for instance, difference between a .22 and a .45. Little pop versus a big pop. So in their minds, they think that this is a gunfight. And the guy comes around the corner, so they're running that direction, which is unique about cops. They all run towards gunfire, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's what we ask them to do. As the guy turns the corner and encounters Officer Nance, who's just run up into the parking lot from, I believe that's A Street. And the guy locks eyes with Nance, according to Nance's statement, and drives directly at him. Nance running to get out of the way, and the guy's accelerating, shoots 5 rounds into the car. The guy veers off and continues going out onto 6th Street where Officer Jansen is. And Officer Jansen sees the car, hears the gunfire, sends a couple more, 21 more rounds that direction. And the guy goes out onto 6th where he stalls the car and then tries to carjack a guy going by. Gets out and says, "Get out of your car," has the gun at chest level. And the guy says, "Yeah, I'm keeping my car," accelerates away. He turns, runs north on B Street. We're on Harpham, takes one shot, and then reassesses his background and so forth and says, "From my angle, I can't shoot more," and holds fire. Jansen pursues the guy on foot and gets a better position and then fires 3 more rounds and misses the guy and hits the metal siding of a building right there behind Hertz Rent-A-Car. And the guy collapses on 5th, and then the rest of it's kind of obvious. We get him in custody, and it takes some time, though.
So this guy thought that he was being pursued and really wasn't?
Well, there's two theories that he had. The girls in the car with him said that he thought he was wanted by the police in Illinois for a probation violation, that he was going to get picked up, and he didn't want to go back to Illinois. He says that he was wanted by a guy named Jesse from Modesto, who he owed $100,000 in heroin and other product to, and that Jesse sometimes uses the police to collect his money.
So either it was fabrication or some other
dark angels in his head.
Where'd the girls come into play on this? They just were driving around with him, thinking he was a nice guy?
A girlfriend and other friends, and to be honest, maybe he is a nice guy at times. But at this moment, when you raise a gun at a cop, that's not being a nice guy. And we have two different witnesses, in addition to Linfoot, saying that the guy raised the gun, towards the police. He just didn't know how to manipulate the gun.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:42. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
You love our off-air comments, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always quite intriguing. You also had a 14-year-old. And I think when our kids were 14, I think when I was 14. Okay. And I heard felony, a felon in possession with at 14. Okay. Yeah, we can say things have changed. What happened here?
Well, you have a kid who's already convicted of possession of methamphetamine, possession of a firearm, out on probation, committing burglaries all over the city.
A felon out on probation?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And there's a lot of felons who are out on probation.
So that's not that abnormal.
Oh, no, that's very common.
Okay.
A 14-year-old
felon?
Well, not 14-year-old is not common, but this is a unique case. So he's out on probation, carrying a sawed-off shotgun around, ran from officers in two different occasions, dropping a gun.
So he had multiple guns?
Multiple guns. And committing burglaries all over the city. And then he also did the shooting at 1625 G Street. And so officers, you know, I finally got a hold of Pop and said, hey, guys, this is going to be our number one priority. This kid is spinning further out of control. So we need to get him in custody as quickly as possible.
Driven by drugs, by rage, by parental something, video games. What?
This is a kind of a unique case. I mean, I've arrested a 12-year-old before for attempted murder on her mother. I've arrested, you know, others, you know, over the years for, you know, heinous crimes that are very young. And it's kind of funny because in the midst of it, the grand jury sends us a letter about a year ago that said, we want to make sure that EPD is not handcuffing 14-year-olds. Well, by and large, we don't.
How about hog tie?
Yeah. By and large, we don't. But this is one of those cases where a guy probably ought to be handcuffed because he's a danger to society. And also ought to be restrained because this guy is going to hurt somebody. Well, he already did. He shot somebody.
What's the end game for this? I don't know if you call him kid or individual or criminal.
I wish I had those psychological, sociological skills to...
What does he say when you talk to him?
Well, he admitted it. He admitted that...
Just regular, you know, hey, I know it's going to be expunged when I'm 16.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... I don't think at that point in your life you have the ability to recognize the long-term effects on you as a person, you know, of what's going to happen down the road. But here's a guy that's headed probably to prison at some point in his life.
I'd hope.
Yeah. Maybe sooner rather than later.
Yeah, like next week kind of thing.
Yeah, but, you know, it's, you know, we got onto this because one of the burglaries that happened, they had really good video surveillance at the house. And when we worked it, we got the photos off the surveillance. It was really clear who it was, and we started working it, and they got more evidence as we go along the way, and officers, or patrol officers in particular, did a great job putting this whole thing together, really pursuing him on a regular basis. And you know, you're 14, you're gonna outrun a 30-year-old with 30 pounds of gear on him.
Yeah. Yeah, but hopefully the 30-year-old knows where you're running and can beat you there.
Yeah, well,
use the mind a little bit,
the radio.
Yeah. Okay, tools and resources. Yeah. So
our drone
is this normal? Is this something that should be wildly concerning for our community? Is this something that is druggy on druggy?
Most of it's druggy on druggy. There is very little that's truly someone who, other than residential burglary, we get a lot of those that are just, yeah, went away.
Kid, was he attacking?
He was attacking others? Other people. Yeah, who are druggies? Yeah.
Can we have, like, druggy neighborhood?
Just isolate it?
Yeah. 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 And just kind of make it simple.
Can I say something in closing here?
Quick.
Okay. Thank you for all that you do for this community, Brian.
Oh.
you know, this is a service and you have all kinds of different people come in that you may philosophically agree or disagree with, but you always have good interviews. And as we start the new year, I just want to thank you for all you do for this community.
Yeah, he's losing his mind now, too. Appreciate it.
The humble effect.
Yes. See y'all tomorrow.